Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They play the same game.
If you don't start a bad attitude,
critical foul.
No one's gonna recruit you.
I'm a ball player.
With a jacked up attitude.
They share the same dream.
You'd love for him to play USC like you did, right?
No, I'd love for him to get a good education.
I don't know why I keep hoping you'll grow out of this tomboy thing.
I won't, I'm a lesbian.
That's not funny.
Bam, you don't look half bad.
You either.
How about a little one-on-one?
What we playing for?
I score, you strip. Take it off. Take it off.
Oh,
strip.
All's fair in love and basketball, baby.
There's only one way to be successful at anything, and that is to give everything.
Coach has us on 11 o'clock curfew. I can stay a few more minutes.
You sweat.
I'm sorry. I don't have it easy like you, all right? There's no red carpet laid out for me.
And ain't no way some soft freshman is taking my spot.
Monica, hustle up, move it!
You forgot to be there.
If I stayed, I wouldn't be starting.
Well, at least you got your priorities straight. Look, I'm entering a draft. I'm going pro.
So that's it. Just forget about you and me.
New Line Cinema presents a story about the passion it takes.
I never knew anyone love ball as much as you.
To keep your dreams alive.
I've loved you since I was 11, and it just won't go away.
This spring.
I'll play you. One game, one-on-one.
For what?
Your heart.
All's fair in love and basketball.
Big ol' Italian D. Recap and Down, a podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not too much. For whatever reason, this time of the year, I start rewatching the West Wing for some reason.
It's really good. Me.
Go to sleep during this spring forward time when I'm still kind of woozy and weird, but it's still good. You can probably skip seasons 4 and 5. They're a little terrible, but it gets back to form in 6 and 7 when Jimmy Smith shows up. That's some good stuff. But,
it's very much like a relic of a bygone era where we actually had a functional government.
Yeah.
And it's not like I used to watch Designated Survivor. I'm like, no, this is a fantasy program. Because in that show, every week there's some kind of major crisis, and he literally solves it at the end of each episode by giving a speech, and that brings both sides together. And like, you know what? He's right. And I'm like, no. That's not what's up. West Wing, they are cajoling and arm twisting and bargaining with people, and things take forever, but it works.
And like, if you like,
have a government that works.
And if you like that Sorkin stuff, the walk and talk, a lot of just too many words when fewer could have done the job, that's his thing. But I'm into it. I still love the show. And thank God for Max. It's now in HD. I've been watching these DVDs that I have that are starting to give out on me. They don't last forever. They don't
No, physical media is nice, but like, don't last forever. Yeah. Talking about things on Max, there's only been two episodes so far, probably three by the time this airs. But All Quiet on the Set is some eye-opening shit. My God. Like, I think internally...
It's multiple episodes? Sorry, I should have chimed in. Oh, yeah. I thought it was just a documentary. Okay.
No. It's two episodes so far. So I was a Nickelodeon kid, and all that was my shit. And I knew that Dan Schneider was like a gross old creep who was like a nasty man. But I didn't internalize how much of that he put on the screen. It's like watching the clips of all that, knowing what I know, is like watching Tarantino movies, knowing he has a foot fetish. It's all you see is feet. Like, it's just feet everywhere. It's just feet. This shit, like, there's a lot of things where it's like, why did we allow that to be a thing children were doing? Early on in the first episode, they show a clip from, I'm not sure if it's from Victorious or Sam and Cat, but it's a Ariana Grande clip where, if you don't know her character from those shows, she is like a brain damaged moron, not unlike Waldo Geraldo Faldo, just like cartoon stupid. And she's wondering if it's possible to get juice out of a potato. And what happens after that is she just gives a hand job to a potato and makes sex noises because she's trying really hard to get this juice. I want the juice. I need the juice. And I was like, were there any adults that saw this and were not pedophiles? Because like anybody watching this would go, oh, no, that's not okay. They also point out how many jokes on all that and his other shows. The punchline is just a kid getting a face full of goop of some sort. Maybe it's snot. Maybe it's ranch dressing. Maybe it's mud. But it's definitely just a shot of a kid where some goop splats on their face, Bukkake style. And I'm like, we just let this man do this shit. And so, yeah, the first episode is all that stuff. Second episode is a lot of, like, the Amanda Bynes stuff, the Amanda show. And she had a show on the WB for a minute that he was also co-creator of. And it's like that sort of stuff. Then at the end of the second episode, it's like, oh, no, there's also like other pedophiles that worked on the shows, too. And one of them was touching and diddling some of the kids on the shows. And then you see poor Drake Bell come and sit down. And that's how the second episode ends, where he's like. So, like, obviously the third episode is going to be him just breaking down what happened to him. But this shit is bananas. And it's truly like. Shocking that we didn't that adults didn't see this. As kids, you don't really notice. Oh, it's funny. She's dumb and trying to juice a potato. As a grown-up, it's like, no, that is Ariana Grande giving a hand job to a potato as on a kid's show. So there's that. But yeah, watch it if you were a Nickelodeon kid and you remember these shows. Watch it now because it's gonna make them feel a lot worse for you. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief, bracketologist, and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana? Did I traumatize you?
Well, that just sounds... I didn't, like, watch anything that came on really, like, after all that, so I didn't know about all that stuff. I thought, like, Ariana was a Disney kid, not a Nickelodeon kid. I'm not sure being on Disney is any better.
No, it's yeah, sure so that was just depressing. As bad.
I was going to talk about the fact that I saw Dune 2 and I thought it was fantastic. So
I need to see it.
Yeah. Is Zendaya a Disney kid or a Nick kid? I don't know if that's a way to say it.
She's a Disney kid.
Disney kid. Okay.
So she's a Disney kid. I need to see it. I was going to go see it this coming Friday, but the American Society of Magical Negroes comes out. So I'm going to see that, obviously. I feel like Dune will be in theaters longer. Yeah.
Let's hope so. I don't know. But yeah, I'm true. I don't know. I hope so. Who the fuck do I? I don't have any skin in the game. I didn't invest in
I hope Doom so for 2. Chalamet's sake.
Right. It was great. I enjoyed it. I'm not someone who like knows a ton from the book, so like apparently they changed some things for the better, I believe, but I was entertained. I've been waiting. Like, I watched previous Dune to get ready, and then I was like, let's go. I won't like make this like the song. I won't sing.
They're oh, like... the loud screeching.
Yeah.
Is it also 3 hours long?
Uh huh. It's long.
Okay. That's kind of the problem here. Is like, I went to go see the first one. I plan on seeing the second one, but 3 hours is such a time commitment for me.
Like, I think if you include the previews, I think it's a lot of credits, like a lot of credits. So no, because I think like I checked my watch, like we went to like a noon showing. It started at 12:20. I don't, we weren't out at like 3:20. Like, I think we were out by like 3. I just think there's a lot of credits that happen. I just love Denis Villeneuve. Like, he has taken a lot of, we're just like talking about anything but the movie we're supposed to talk about.
I
remember the first time I saw Blade Runner, like it was like in the 2010s. I'd never seen it as a kid. And at the time I was like, that movie, if you told me it came out like yesterday, I'd be like, yes, it's so, like, it's so well done. Mm-hmm. And for him to take something like that and then like make a sequel, Blade Runner 2049, also very good. And like, you can't really tell the difference. Like, I think he obviously uses CGI, but he uses it well. It's not like a fucking Marvel movie where you're like, oh, this is where the CGI comes in. Like, it's so good. I'm like, are these models of little towns like the way they used to do back in the day? Where they used to make a little town and like make the camera go. Like, yeah. I'm like, are we flying over a mini Arrakis? Like Arrakeen? The capital city. I'm like, I'd buy it because it's so well done. And then you go watch like the Marvels, which was very fun, but it's like, look, CGI, 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 CGI. Like, nobody looks real.
You're watching a cartoon is what you're watching. Yeah.
I wish I gave a shit about any of that, about Dune.
I just appreciate like Marvels good. The Marvels was just fun.
Oh, but no. Dune 2. I'm over Marvel. I'm done.
Yeah.
No more.
Well,
last thing I'm going to say before we transition to our movie is that I heard like someone, not Denis himself talking, but someone talking about an interview that Denis did on a podcast I listened
to. Oh boy.
Where like Denis talks about like he doesn't really care about the story or like the actors really, like for him, the benefit of like film as a media is the spectacle and the visuals you can create. And like once you know that about him, you're like, God damn, that's why it looks so fucking good. It's so, impressive.
No, the first one was visually arresting. Absolutely. What I was going to say is I'm also done with Marvel, except X-Men 97 is coming out in like a couple days. So like,
what is this?
Oh, did you not watch the original animated X-Men back in the day?
I used to watch some of it, but not all of it. Like, I wasn't like a diehard.
It's just that.
I know the theme song.
Yeah, well, I've heard the theme song for the new one. I'm like, y'all figured it out. Like, it's the exact same like guitar riff.
Yeah,
like they've got like a trap beat with it now. Like, it sounds updated.
Is it the same show or is it just the same character? Like, is it the same show?
It's a continuation. It's like we're just gonna pick up after the last season ended and just keep that story going. Is what I think is going on with it. But the art is the exact same. I think they got all the voice actors back that are still with us. To me, like that's what I want from a comic book show. It looks like the comic books. Like my kid loves Teen Titans Go, and I'm like, shit's fucking stupid. Like it's
meant for children. I think it's meant for
little kids. And it's fun, but I'm like, this is dumb. And I used to watch like the real Teen Titans, and I'm like, it's fine. It looked too much like Invincible. I'm like, I love Invincible, but I'm like, boy, your lines are awful thin. Wish they were thicker sometimes. Like, that kind of stuff bothers me as an illustrator. And the X-Men from the 90s, along with, like, what was the Batman animated series, I think got the comic book look perfectly. So I'm excited for that to come back.
There was a version of Teen Titans that I watched that I thought was good, but it's probably
was good.
A number of years old now.
Yeah, well, there was regular Teen Titans, which was for, you know, teens and older people to watch, and it was great. Yeah. And then they made Teen Titans Go, and I'm just like, the fuck is this? Like you're not even solving crimes. You're just the TV broke out. And you have to fix the TV. Yeah. You're just kicking it in the house together.
It's like a kid level problem. Oh, I can't figure out how to turn the television on.
Well, speaking of kid level problems, Dana, what are we talking about? Where can we get it? And what is it about?
Yes, kids are always so concerned about Love and Basketball, which is a movie we watched from 2000. I definitely thought it was either older or younger. I don't know. 2000 kind of shocked me.
Same.
It is on Netflix. It might be elsewhere. I don't care. I picked it because I could watch it for free, mm-hmm. quote unquote, in my subscription. Oh, mm-hmm. that's the other thing I watched on Netflix. The Gentlemen. Highly recommend.
The TV show?
Yeah.
I like the movie. I wasn't sure if I should.
TV show is good. We watched the whole thing in a weekend, which is very rare for my husband to commit to watching a whole show in one kind of setting. He didn't want to go to bed Saturday night because he's like, I need to find out what happens in the last two episodes. And I was like, I fell asleep. We have to.
If you want some Netflix soapy garbage, watch Dynasty. Boy, that show's fun as shit.
Oh, that's like, it is garbage.
I know, but they picked it up on Netflix for the last season.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so the synopsis of this film, so we're not talking about a bunch of other shit. Monica and Quincy are two childhood friends who both aspire to be professional basketball players. Quincy, whose father Zeke plays for the Los Angeles Clippers, is a natural talent and a born leader. I don't know if you know about that part, but Monica is a ferociously competitive, but sometimes becomes overly emotional on the court. Over the years, the two begin to fall for each other, but their separate paths to basketball stardom threaten to pull them apart.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think Monica is appropriately emotional, but that's just me. But I think that we do that with women a lot. Dave, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Omar Epps plays Quincy McCall. Sana Lathan plays Monica Wright. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Alfre Woodard plays Camille Wright. Dennis Haysbert play Zeke McCall. I love Dennis Haysbert. I go watch
that voice.
Anything. Not even just
Joe Boo.
I watched Mr. Baseball the other day, and he's the best part of that movie. And I like Tom Selleck, but
you're in good hands. Dennis with Allstate.
Allstate. Debbie Morgan plays Nona McCall. Harry Lennox as Nathan Wright. Let's see. Christine Dunford as Coach Davis. Regina Hall as Lena Wright, Monica's sister. Boris Kodjo as Jason. Gabrielle Union shows up as Shawnee. Tyra Banks. That was something.
I yelled out loud, Tyra Banks.
As Kira, as Quincy's fiance. So that's something, right?
Yeah.
That's plenty. Not anymore.
Yeah. That's about it there.
Yeah.
Before we get in, I'm sorry. Jeez, I'm out of practice, guys. I'm very sorry here.
Okay.
Let's go around the horn and give some memories the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
I was reading oral histories and all this stuff about why people love this movie. I guess I was not a basketball player. I tried really hard. Not good at it. I use it as a two truths and a lie the other day at work that I played basketball in college. And people were like, I see it. I was like, absolutely not. I'm fucking terrible. So this should have been a movie at the time, maybe I should have watched in high school as an athlete, but I was basketball was not my thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I saw this till maybe college or after college or when streaming came out. I definitely didn't see it in the moment. But I had seen it previously. When? Couldn't tell you, but I have seen it.
Dave, how about you?
This is, I'm sure it was advertised. I don't like basketball. I'm not a big fan of Love, so it got past me. So didn't see it. Didn't even think about it until it was selected to watch. So
I had never seen it before today. It was my very first girlfriend's favorite movie. And it turns out it was also my wife's favorite movie from her sophomore year of high school up through the end of her time in college. And the fact that I have had romantic relationships with two women who live and die for this movie, but I had never seen it. A little bit odd for me, but yeah, I had never seen it before earlier today.
Interesting.
Isn't it? Dana, watching it again, did it make the grade or should they have held this back?
I still think it's great. I think it is a classic. And when I've seen it, yes, I understood why this is to the test of time, why it's so important to some people. For me, like, I think maybe now I appreciate it more. Maybe I actually never really watched all of it. Maybe I've only seen parts of it. But I will say, I think it's so good. I don't know if there's just like a couple like questions I had or little plot things. And I'm like, I wish we could have done this differently. But like overall, this movie is 2 hours and 4 minutes. So it's a little long.
2 hours and 4 minutes.
We might as well have watched The Irishman. It was so long.
Should have watched Dune and got it over with.
We've watched longer movies.
I know.
But yeah, I think B plus, A minus. I don't think it's really good. So it makes the grade.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
Wasn't bad. interesting, like the way that they're like first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. I'm like, that's interesting.
We're gonna talk about it.
More on that. I'm like, that's okay. Really sticking to the basketball motif here. Just an interesting story of you don't want to call them star-crossed lovers or anything like that, but I don't think anyone cared about the WNBA in 2000, and it's in here.
They sure did.
Later,
we went to games, Liberty games, Liberty games. Huh? Yeah, I think we got free tickets though through some like school stuff. But yeah,
and the Liberty had a star, now, so it's okay. Because Rebecca Lobo was there, so.
Yeah. People are paying attention now. It's nothing like that. And like her playing overseas, I thought that part was interesting. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's FC Barcelona. I guess they have a basketball team. That's
they certainly do.
Yeah. Interesting story. So in Southern California, USC, fun. And the stuff with his dad is interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I just thought it was good. We don't see a lot of good movies, so this is I don't know how to talk about it. It's weird.
So here's the thing. I'm gonna say they should have held this back. It's hear me out. It's not like the performances were bad. I thought the performances, especially from literally everybody, I was just hearing both leads, but like no, the parents were also great. Thought those were great performances. There's no reason it had to be over 2 hours long. That was absurd. And I did not want these two to wind up together. To be hokey, the movie needed more love and less basketball for me. It was an awful lot of basketball, not a whole lot of love. I didn't feel like I had any reason to want these two to be together other than that they had this long history with one another. Like, we don't see scenes of them as they're growing up, like, falling in love with one another, having an emotional connection to one another. It's all so basketball focused. We see him watching her play basketball, her watching him play basketball, them playing basketball together. But I never got the we have fallen in love with one another sort of storyline that I would have needed for me to want them their to love be together.
Basketball's their love language. That's what, we can have a debate about. Okay, we're gonna talk about it because it's part of the notes.
It's not like I thought it was a bad movie. I'm just like, your focus is wrong. You might as well call it Basketball and Love if it's going to be this much basketball and this little love. So go back and remake this, or even just like recut it would be better for me. But yeah, it didn't land. Got a basketball, Jones. Do we have any fun facts on this one before we get into the recap and the segments?
I did read like one whole oral history. I didn't find anything. I read like all of the IMDb quote unquote trivia. I couldn't find a ton. One thing I did think was interesting that the director and writer, Gina Prince, is it
Bythewood? I don't know if it's Bythewood or By the Wood. I don't know.
Yeah, By the Wood.
I want to say it's By the Wood. It can't be By the Wood.
Is one of the opposing players in some of the basketball scenes with Sanaa Lathan, and like when they're diving for a ball, it's the director, because like the director was like a track athlete but played basketball in high school.
Does she look old as shit, or does it look appropriate?
I don't think she's that much older than them. Like I'm not sure how old, but like she's not like a main. Like I don't think you see her a ton. I just think like for some reason it's her doing some of the basketball. So I thought that was interesting. This isn't like a true Spike Lee joint, but Spike Lee did produce this movie after it had like a reading at Sundance. I'm trying to think what else. We got cameos from Robin Roberts and Dick Vitale, which I thought was pretty cool.
Sure did.
For this like little movie, and I'm sure that's Spike going like, hey, it's a basketball movie, we want y'all to be in it.
Awesome, baby, with a capital A.
Was this was this before or after he got Game? I think this is before he got Game, right?
I'll say after.
Or were they the same week? Like, did they come out at the same time?
No, not definitely not the same week, but they're pretty close together.
They feel close.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He got Game this, before. So it's like, this is like a weird time. 2000. I'm like, is it old? Like,
it is a weird time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that stood out to me. So like a big thing for the director was like the basketball has to look good and has to look real. So it was between like Sanaa Lathan, who was a good actor but needed to learn how to play basketball, or this other woman who was like a good basketball player and played at Georgia Tech but like needed to learn how to be an actress. And eventually
made the right choice.
Yeah, yeah. They made the right choice, and also like they'd been putting them through like hell for like months. And I didn't realize Sanaa Lathan is kind of a nepo baby. Her dad is like a Peabody and like Tony Award winning producer, Stan Lathan. And I think he called Gina, was like, you got to fucking make a decision. You're putting my kid through hell. Like, she's working out like three times a day. Like, let's
go. The basketball looked good. A lot of times I watch sports movies and I'm like, the fuck is this? Their basketball looked good. Even like the slow motion where she's like dribbling and crossing people over. I'm like, yeah, that looks about right. Like, she's got handles. That made sense to me.
Yeah, because it was really, and like she said, they didn't really choreograph a ton when I was reading this like oral history. They just let him play. Like, we're just going to play and film you guys and just like not try to choreograph like too much of it. But yeah, I don't think there's anything, like a lot of the trivia was like, oh, well, like Omar Epps and Tyra Banks had been in a movie previously, Higher Learning, which I do want to do. Fucking love
we're
that.
Gonna
movie.
We're going to do it.
But that was like 95. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Omar Epps and Dennis Haysbert, Major League Two. One of my
yeah, they were teammates.
That's weird. They're like 30 years. He's 30 years older than Omar Epps is.
That is weird.
He was replacing Wesley Snipes as Willie Mays,
which is the weirdest. If there was a way to talk about that movie on this podcast, I would, because it makes
not notes. A cousin, just Willie Mays.
Him again.
It was like a 30 year old Wesley Snipes becomes a 22-year-old Omar Epps 4 years after the original movie comes out.
You know what happens historically in baseball if players get traded or like,
sure,
you know, they get cut. Like, you could just have him be someone else.
And they didn't have to have him be an action star with Jesse the Body Ventura and
yep.
A lot of really dumb stuff happened.
He could have just been like Billy Mays Hayes. Like, what? Sure. Oh, that's my cousin. Billy that Mays, was my cousin.
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays Hayes.
Doesn't he do something with a ShamWow?
No, that's Vin Schmooley. Oh, Billy Mays is the flex tape guy.
And he's
I thought he was
a whole boat out of flex tape.
I think he died.
Oh, no,
he
no.
Did he die?
He is. I'm not sure the other. Yeah. The other guy is the flex tape guy.
Okay. Well, so those are the fun facts. This is all I could come up with. I only read one. I actually did try to do some research and I was like, man, there's a bunch of articles. I'm not going to read all those. But I did read the one
bullshit
on ESPN.com. So I feel proud of myself.
There you go. Well, let's get into the recap and the segments here then. Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I know Dave like already read through the whole cast, but I just want the black excellence of it all.
It's impressive. The black excellence. It's really black excellence
is all over this movie.
I feel upset that I'm not wearing my black excellence sweatshirt. That's the name of the black folk ERG at my company. I was just like heavy hitter after, and I don't know if it's like, I think I was reading like Alfre Woodard's like thing and just about like she loved the script. She originally thought Gina Prince Bythewood, how the fuck you say that?
Perhaps
should be Monica. Like she's like, it's your story. Like you're the person you should. And she's like, Gina's like, girl, I don't act. Like
it's like 13 all over again, huh?
Yeah. It sounds like the script was like very well received. People really liked it. But I do also wonder, is it like the Spike Lee of it all, that it's like, oh, Spike's got his hand on this? All right.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, like, because it is truly impressive. And some of these people, not even on the come up, like Gabrielle Union has been in, by this point, she's been in like Bring It On.
Mm-hmm. I think Hate About You. Like, Bring It On was 98, 99. So yeah, I think so.
Yeah, these are like all around the same time. Tyra Banks had been in Higher Learning.
Like, and she had been on Fresh Prince for many episodes.
I feel like America's Next Top Model is about to start. So it's
right around this time.
When she starts fucking psychologically scarring people for the rest of their goddamn lives.
We could do a whole podcast about the fucking torture on that show. They should make a document about her on HBO.
I'm pretty sure there are podcasts that talk about
I'm certain. Of course
there are. We just didn't know. It was a similar time when Diddy's like making people walk across fucking Manhattan to get a cheesecake. Like, we just didn't know.
Coney Island she's over here shaving people bald and then firing them that week. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You can't shave her bald and then send her home right away.
Making people get like probably horrible, painful dental work. We're going to close your gap. We're going to give you a gap. I'd be like, whoa, bitch.
That one lady had hypothermia. She almost died in that pool because it was like 45 degrees. They had her in the pool for like an hour and a half.
Okay. Anyway. We don't have to talk about Tyra the whole entire time. But like Kyla Pratt goes on to like have her own TV show and like do a bunch of stuff. Like she's younger Monica. Debbie Morgan is a legend. Regina Hall is a queen, a goddess. Have you watched Hunk Save Jesus, Save Your Soul or whatever? Hunk for Jesus,
no.
Save Your Soul.
I forgot about that movie.
It's on Peacock. I fell asleep, so I didn't see the whole thing. But I was enjoying it. It's a very interesting it's not mockumentary, but it's like a faux documentary about her and Sterling K. Brown as preachers in the South. Excellent.
She was great in Little. Like the reverse big. Oh, it's good. And she's great in it. Yeah.
Okay. As I mentioned, Alfie Woodward, how she's still just kicking around, being excellent. A lot of these, when you watch this movie and you're like, this movie came out in 2000, you're like, these people look the exact same age. Goddamn, black don't crack. I'm just
moisturize.
Like,
moisturize your skin.
How, when Boris Kodjoe popped up, I was like, not Boris Kodjoe.
Yeah. There's it's Boris like Kodjoe.
When Morris Chestnut popped up in the inkwell, I was like,
Morris Chestnut. Oh, be still my heart.
Right? Mike Tomlin pops up in this film, aka sure does.
Multi-sport athlete.
Yeah. Fantastic. I just
truly,
you know, obviously there has to be a lot of black people in the movie because the main two leads are black kids.
But they could have been black nobodies and they got black somebodies.
Well, what else are you acting in the 2000s? You know, you think it's hard? Well, no, it probably was better then than it is now. But
well, we had Tyler Perry now, but he cast nobodies. So, well, I know that's the appropriate face to make.
Sorry, people listening could not hear the facial reaction that I made. I have not watched Mea Culpa. But
Watch it right now.
No. I watched two drag queens watch it, and that was enough for me.
It is a goddamn mess. I loved that disaster of a fucking movie. What a mess.
Oh, it sounds wild. It
makes no damn sense.
So I just wanted to call out the black excellence. Truly delightful to see. Love to see it. Wish we saw more of it. I feel like a cast of this, it's, you gotta like, it's Black Panther. Like, that's what I'm watching. Like, that's the only way you're getting this now, which is a shame. Or is it like, oh, slavery? Ugh, nobody asked for that.
Yeah, another Black torture film.
Shout out to Cord Jefferson, who called that out, and not in his acceptance speech for winning Best Adapted Screenplay, but behind the scenes was like, hey, not all Black people have to be hoodlums or slaves.
Enough with the slave movies. I've had enough.
Yeah. Okay. So to actually get it, we talked about this, and I think these two sections can go together. I didn't have like a good headline for this one because it's just the setup. I don't know. Playbook. I don't know what we want to call it. Formation. Pre-game. The way the movie's structured. Yeah, pregame. And then the next one is Love It Tip Off instead of Love It for Semester. There we go.
I'll put a whistle sound effect or something.
Or like, get sued by John Tesh.
Give me Marv Albert over here. John Tesh, that's right.
The NBC, NBA on NBC is a John Tesh classic.
Remember, he thought he was an alien once upon a time, too. Remember that?
I heard him call. Apparently, he left a message for himself. Like, da, 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 da. Yeah,
that's right.
Or he like sang the song to himself on his voicemail.
Like a voice memo. Yeah.
He's like, I have to remember this. It's going to be worth something. I'm like, apparently, it was worth a lot. It's still fucking.
He's really right. That's crazy.
It's amazing.
It's John so good. Tesh,
big ass forehead.
Yeah. The only thing it competes with, because I sing it all the time to my friend, is the. Slowed down jazzy version of the NFL on Fox when someone gets injured.
Oh. Yeah, this people
we're gonna cut to a commercial break and we'll hope the player's doing well.
I can see the bone. Yeah, it's that.
I think he's dead. Okay, so the setup for the film, it's a basketball. This movie's called Love and Basketball.
Yeah, it's about.
It's set up. In that. Quarters, quote unquote, but the time spans make no sense. The first quarter is 1981 when Monica and Quincy first meet at the age of 11. We'll just like start there and then I'm going to go through the quarters and then we can always come back. But that's it. 1981, first quarter. Quarter number one.
Well, you know it's 81 because the Isley Brothers are playing.
Was it the Isley
Brothers? Love and happiness.
That's what I was like, love and basketball.
I thought that was Al Green. My Spotify told my Shazam. Was it Al Green? Al Green.
It's
Al
Green. Oh my God. It sounds so much like Mr. Big. It sounds like Ronald Isley. Wow. All right.
No, it's Al Green. And then it's also New Edition Candy Girl, which is right. The soundtrack, I didn't really put a lot into it.
I could listen to that song all day.
Young Bobby Brown. Voice so high. Voice is so high.
Everything. Okay, anyway. So quarters, usually it's a standard 10, 15 minute quarters. So the first year is 1981. They are 11. Cool. Second quarter is 1988.
I was going to say 89. A number.
That's right. That's
sound of the fucking drama.
So 1988, yeah. 7 years later, you're like, oh, okay, so we're doing time jumps. I was like, okay, I forgot this aspect of the movie. Cool. It's 1988. We're in high school. I think we're seniors in high school because, you know, we're looking to go to college. I'm not going to go too much further because I'm just going to go through the quarters. Sorry, I'm going to look through my handwritten notes that I wrote a lot of notes, did not translate them into the Google Doc. So, okay, first quarter, 1981. Mm-hmm. Second quarter, 1988. Third quarter, 1988, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we've got two quarters in the span of 18 months.
So when,
I figured there'd be more college, but then you find out.
But it's literally
the last that long.
The first one is... whatever dance basketball season is ending, I believe, because she's talking about winning a championship. I think maybe they both won championships. So it's end of basketball season, March of 1988.
It's March, yeah, because they have their spring dance too.
Yeah, okay, but it's not a prom, just a spring dance.
No, spring dance.
Interesting. So then third quarter starts in 1988. I think it's preseason, so
yeah,
maybe October, November of 1988.
I'd say October
through. All of the 1988-1999 basketball season? I don't collegiate
well, he leaves after his freshman year. So like,
do we go through the whole freshman year or just like second the season ends, he's out? Does anybody make the tourney?
That's a good point. We don't hear any talk about them going to the tournament. We don't hear any talk about them competing for the conference title. It might have been like 6 weeks of the season.
We see a tough loss of some sort, but we don't know what the game is.
It's a meaningless loss, but yeah, we do see a tough loss.
Yeah. I'm
guessing that they didn't want to, like, we don't want to risk anyone saying March Madness and have to pay for that or anything. So we'll just say
Dick Vitale right there, though.
They'll just lose a big game and then we just won't talk about it again.
Don't worry about it.
And he'll be discouraged.
Yeah. So we get that one. So I'm like, okay, we went 7 years. Now we're going like 7 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the fourth quarter is 1993.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We miss a huge chunk of their story. That's the love part I've needed. I needed that.
No, they're not in love during that part. So, like, I get it.
It's a documentary. Say they are.
He is. Oh, look at the balloons. He is. He's, and she just appears to be like mad. And that's
just mad.
Yeah. Mad in Spain. That's all she's doing.
And I think we like get it. Like in Ohio, the quarters,
it's mad in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
The quarters are meant to be like those moments where they like. I think this. It's you're saying the love's not there, and I think we're supposed to see the love in each one of these moments. That's why I called it love at tip off because like they first meet at 11. She's new to town. They're all playing. They're all hooping. They're all balling. And like she walks up, they think it's a boy. She actually winds up being pretty good at basketball, surprisingly. The next day they're like, we'll ride to school together. Let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. But they immediately get mad at each other. So we're like,
immediately.
And I was like, oh, well, that was fast. And again, they're like 11. I think that happens.
That happens
when you're 11. But that's like inkling one of their love. So then you're like, I needed to see the love. I think they're sprinkling it. They're giving it to us.
They sprinkle it, which it's not like I was never confused as like, oh my God, they're into each other. But it was just like, think about how much basketball practice we get compared to like them alone not playing basketball.
I think it's important to their story. Like, I think the basketball, again, I think it's their love language. Because then when we go to like second quarter, 1988, it's high school. You think they haven't been talking and hanging out the way she's like, give me a ride home. The way like when his parents have a fight, he crawls through the window and sleeps on the floor of her bedroom. It doesn't seem it seems routine. Like she hands him a pillow, grabs a blanket. It doesn't seem like it's the first time. Like, I think they're just showing us things that like,
even though
they didn't date when they were 11, like they are still close this whole entire time.
But see, the problem that I had with that was like, it seems like they're close. It does not seem like there's any romantic interest though. Cause like, she is almost like a non-sexual entity to him. He literally talks about Gabrielle Union's big old titties or whatever in front of her. Like, it seems like they're homies, not like that there's like he's interested in her and she's interested in him.
Well, she's got to have her glow up. Don't you know how these things work?
Usually they want to have the glow up.
But she, like, that's
forced it upon her.
That's what like happens. It's like, because like you can tell that like they're close, they have a connection. It's just, I think for her the whole entire time, and she does say it at some point in the movie. I think towards the end, I've been in love with you since I was 11. So for her, for girls, it's always as like unrequited. And in media, films, TV shows have led us to believe that boys can't see what's right in front of their face until it gets a makeover.
I mean, there was a tomboy I had a major crush on all through fucking high school.
Did she know?
I never see her. If I had more confidence in myself, she would have known. Also, she dated one of my best friends. So I wasn't going to say anything then.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has to see it. So, like, but again, they're still close. Because, like, in high school, like, he watches her games. She watches his games. I don't think she realizes how intently he's watching her games until later, which we can talk about.
A thing happens,
In a moment. But, like, I remember having the same arguments with my mom that Monica has with her mom, where it's like,
your mom, why do you have to dress clothes, like this?
You know, like, why do you have to like not want to do your hair? Why do you have to wear things seven sizes? And I'm like, constant arguments with my mom until one day I was like, okay, fine, I will start wearing like fitted pants that fit and tight little shirts. And then I was like, whoa, 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 this has gone too far, my dear. And it's like, well, which do you want? Be wearing baggy t-shirts and pants that are too loose? Or now I'm trying to dress fashionably. So some of that felt, that was hitting home. It was hitting.
We also saw this in Bend It Like Beckham, the same kind of dynamic in that movie too.
Yeah. So it is.
Just because I wear trainers doesn't mean I'm a lesbian. Was the part of that movie.
Yes, that was a joke that came up, and it's like, yes,
same joke, yeah.
I've had this, and it's just like, I just play sports and want to be comfortable. I'm sorry, I'm sore all the time. And
the
just,
way that they were offended, I'm like, this is the 80s, 100%. Like, that's the worst thing.
She was like, what the fuck?
Worst thing you could be. Oh my God.
That's not funny. They're from the South, they're from Atlanta.
Pissed.
So, like, you know, basketball, they have that connection. Then there's a dance that, you know, her sister, this is when Regina Hall pops up. And I'm like, excellent. Mm. Do I buy that Regina Hall is the older sister? Absolutely not. But that is fine. Just happy to see Regina in things. And helps her. She's like, I'll do your hair. I'll make you look nice. I got a date for you. And the sister's being like, what's wrong with him? Which is fair. Why does a college boy want to go to a high school dance?
I think we all know why. Get a little bit of trim real easy without having to like put any effort in because you're old and she's young. Shit is gross, but that's the only reason why.
Very uncomfortable.
And that's
like
clearly
it.
What he had in mind. That's how he was acting. Yes. So yeah.
He's like, oh, your sister wasn't lying about her looking like her. But she looks
trim.
Great. Yeah. She unfortunately lose the basketball game because of like she puts up a brick when she should have probably passed to someone else or whatever.
I said anyway. Pass somebody else or dribble drive and draw a foul. You need 2 points.
Yeah.
In her head, she's like, we just need 1 point. Why are you jacking up a Caitlin Clark three? Drive to the hoop and draw a foul.
That is one part of the thing I didn't love when she's just like talking to herself in the I'm glad they didn't do it for the rest of the film because I would have fucking lost my mind. But in this like crucial moment of like the championship game where we've got seconds left, she's dribbling and she's like talk, like we hear a voiceover. And it was just like, I don't think I don't know. I haven't played a sport in a while, but I don't remember an inner monologue when I was.
I had like, one, but it was just me talking shit. I never had an inner monologue of strategy. I'm just like, this bitch can't play with me. Like that was my entire inner monologue.
Or maybe like I didn't have it because I'm like, I play defense. You have to be talking. So I'm like always talking. So I don't, maybe didn't have an inner monologue because I was too busy like on your left, on your right, like directing people because I can see this whole field behind them.
There's no one to talk to during offensive line.
I thought it was interesting that we saw a lot more of her basketball than his basketball.
It's her story.
It is her story.
It is Monica's story.
It's her story. And I think the impression that I got was he didn't really have any like adversity. Because oh yeah, I scored 40 or whatever and we're still undefeated. Like it seemed like it was easier for him. And also his dad is an NBA player. So if you're that kind of a player and your dad plays in the NBA, you're going to go to college somewhere. There wasn't the same stakes for him as there was for her.
Yeah. So they have that game where she loses the dances the next day. Her sister does her hair. She comes in with a cute dress. And immediately it's like, whoa, that's been under there this whole time. I'm like, y'all never swam.
Lainey Boggs.
Y'all haven't swam, seriously.
Right.
Oh, she took off her glasses.
Lainey Boggs. Okay.
Lainey Boggs. Yeah, no, it's
kiss not... me. Yeah, there you go.
You haven't swam Lainey in a pool. You haven't played like one-on-one and felt her. Because like, whether she's wearing a baggy shirt or not, like, the shirt's not going to stay where it is if you hand check. You're going to understand there's a figure underneath that.
I don't know, but he needed to see it. He was like, oh, she is also a shawty who I might want to
honey
hook
dip.
Up with. Yeah,
the fact that he looked at her and said, damn, in front of his date. I'm like, what are you doing?
Fucking loved it.
You guys got no chill at all. You can't say
Hilarious.
That.
Well, at that point, he's what, 17? Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb. It's like,
he hit it with a full blown.
Yeah. Like, I don't care who I'm here with. I'm gonna make my thoughts known.
Facebook, Gabriel, out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at one point, so he's like reacting, like I think he goes over and talks to her. Then at another point, they're both like slow dancing with their dates, and he is just like laser focused on Monica. So I think in him, it's like, oh, she's like, maybe this could work because she doesn't have to look like a fucking ragamuffin all the time and homeless. Sorry.
A person experiencing homelessness.
Either way, it's totally fucked up. I shouldn't have said it. But so I think it's just like now some gears are starting to turn in his head because men are dumb. You got to hit them over the head when people are pretty. They just put up some makeup on and press their hair.
Mm-hmm.
If they conform to Western beauty standards.
Right. No natural then, like, hair in this film.
Yeah. But then they like later they both wind up home potentially early from the dance. For some reason she crawls in through the window. Maybe she's out later than she's supposed to be. I thought it was weird. Like just go through the fucking front door. And they wind up talking, and that's when like she describes like her situation with the guy, and she's like, I was just really like distracted because I couldn't remember how many offensive rebounds I had. And then she goes all the way through it and he goes, 4.
Yeah.
You had 4. See, love language. See, I paid attention to you.
He could have said 6.
See you.
He could have said 7. She's not going to fucking know. Like, she doesn't know what the number is.
She knew. Huh? She cared enough to not. She's like, I got to remember. She knew. Once she heard it, she went, oh, yeah, that's right. I had 4.
That's fair.
Offensive rebounds.
Not that many. Not that many.
No, I thought it was a little low. Maybe as a point guard, she shouldn't be up, you know.
She's not banging down, though. That's true.
Yeah. You know, that's why I was like, what is the basketball terminology for this? Mm-hmm. She's not up on them boards.
oh, no.
Banging down low, huh?
Yeah, bang down low. Like Ben Wallace. You got to bang down low.
Yeah. But he tells her that. I think they exchange something else. And then they start kissing. And then they start hugging and rubbing. Needless to say, they wind up back in her bedroom and they have sex for the first time. And it's basically like now they're a couple. He uses a condom, which is very nice. Love that message.
Prominently featured.
That's very nice. And it was very awkward too. I appreciated how awkward it was.
Well,
same. I appreciated her face while he was like waiting to like trying to find the condom in the drawer and like get it on. She's just like,
oh, no, it wasn't in the drawer. I think it was out of his pants pocket.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that moment of her just being like, all right, we're going to do this. I have 12 seconds to just like think about what's about to happen before it starts.
Well, okay. That was one thing. That's a fun fact I forgot that I read is that like, I think while they were filming or something, it was like, they need to make it seem like she's enjoying it. So they shot it and cut it where like Monica is enjoying her first time having sex, which would be, it's my assumption. This is her first time.
Yeah,
it got an R rating because they're like, oh, it's too much.
So yes, then she's not that into it.
Yes, basically. Now. Like if you're losing your virginity, you shouldn't like it so much, whatever it was. But then the director Gina was like saying how like Meet Joe Black had come out like a little bit before that, and Brad Pitt's character is technically losing his virginity for the first time because he's death in a human body, and he seems to be enjoying it. And that was PG-13, and they were like, well, that's a man.
I saw that movie for the first time last year, and that accident at the beginning is disturbing.
I haven't watched it forever, but I remember.
And then there's 2.5 hours more movie. It's wild. It goes on.
I just remember Brad Pitt is so hot in that movie. So fucking hot. When he starts doing Jamaican patois.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Chet Hanks. Yeah. My threshold for like an absurd rating is always a 40-year-old virgin. It was NC-17 at first, and then they had to make his penis pointier in the boner scene in the beginning to get it down to an R rating. So like, that's not how a dick looks, but it's like, yeah, I know. But if it's that round at the head, that's NC-17. So it's like a cone shape because that's the way they can get away with it.
If you've ever watched the documentary on the MPAA, it's totally bullshit.
It's a fascist outfit. It's absurd.
But basically she was like, fine, I'll recut it because like I don't want it to be rated R and like girls not be able to see this movie that was like especially for them, like girls who love playing sports, and if it's basketball specifically or just sports in general, like it's for girls and like probably more teenagers and preteens, but like if it's rated R, it's probably not going to be seen by as many people. I will take it out. She's like, I follow the final cut, it doesn't make a fucking difference, I'm glad I didn't fight about it.
Yeah.
But then they bone for the first time, and then it's like, well, I guess they're in love, because then we cut to the next quarter. It's 1988. Oh, we also learned she gets into USC. No colleges had recruited her because she has a hot temper. And that's another thing that, like, Quincy's like, you gotta keep a cooler head, like, on the court. I think they talked about that before the dance. And she's like, that's why no one's coming after you. Like, you're just, you're but hothead. And like,
the evidence they showed us of that was her getting mad at, like, a bad foul call. And I'm like, I watched women's basketball. That's what happens. She didn't go full Cardozo and run somebody over. I mean,
not to 1988, though. Like, it's a different time. Not. She's got to be a lady. I did find that part, I found, like, annoying, because, like, I don't care. Well, no, I was about to say, you have an athlete who's like has a bad attitude. You're not, like, keeping him out of the game for the whole thing. Like, you're going to make him cool down. I was kicked off of varsity, like, for weeks, because I full on cursed my coach out in the middle of a game. I was like, shut the fuck up, leave me the fuck alone.
Well, you can't curse your coach out. That's different. I always say, listen, I, as an Iowa alum, I love Caitlin Clark. She's a dick. Like, she is a dick when she plays. She is mean to everybody. She complains the entire game. That's basketball. Like, I don't. If you're better than everybody else, be a dick, I guess. But it's hard for me to imagine Cheryl Miller not talking shit all game because of how Reggie Miller is. So
that's, like, true.
There's no way Cheryl Miller was, like, polite during basketball games.
She might not be that caliber, though. Like, if no, like, you
She's
know what
not,
I'm saying? Like,
truly.
She probably is, like, definitely should be recruited, could probably play, maybe at a smaller school. But it's just, like, she's never going to go top tier. She might have had her heart set on certain places. So, like, yes, I think it's
Fresno
a silly
State
reason.
Would have come to recruit her.
Yeah, like, I think there are some schools who probably would have, but, like, she probably
San Diego
had her sights
State.
Set on something, and, like, could have been a higher tier if it wasn't for the attitude thing. So they're probably just like, it's not worth it, whatever.
True. You're not a transcendent player.
Yeah. So I think it was a little bit of that, but he, like, encouraged that. So they both wind up going to USC together, or they find out that he's going, she got in, or they want her. Then they bone for the first time. Then they're together, and we go to the next quarter. It's 1988. They're at, I guess it's the fall of 1988. They're at USC together. They're still a couple. They're still together. All's gravy. Except for the fact that, like, Monica's coach is pushing her, like, really, really hard. She's, like, struggling in practice. She doesn't have footwork. Yada, yada, yada. He's seen as one of Dick Vitale's diaper dandies.
Real BTP, baby.
Capital A, whatever. I don't know.
I hate Dick Vitale.
No,
it's so nice when he pops up in movies and he's young. Like, now it's just like, oh man, cool.
To retire. He's out of here.
No, he's like, I'm here at the hospital for my cancer treatments, but it's okay, baby.
Oh no,
I think he literally did that during one of a recent spring.
Heal, man. Don't do this. Come on.
Yeah. No, just take some time. Take some time.
Yeah.
But, like, so he's obviously, like, great. People are, like, saying to his dad, like, oh, someone said I could go in the lottery. Da, da, da. And his dad's like, please stay in school. I think ultimately, like, I think early in the movie, he's like, oh, my dad wants me to be a doctor, blah, blah, blah. And I think his dad's like, I've done this. Like, I played in college, I played in the pros. Like, maybe he doesn't want to be, like, unless you're going to be transcendent, like, hey, this ain't the career path. Like, you might want something. Well,
I think it's that. And his dad, they have a pretty clever moment earlier where his dad mentions, like, I only have another, like, year or two left to play. And so I think his dad's probably like, yeah, you could play in the NBA. You're not as good as me. But, like, by the time you're 30, your career is over. Then what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, what is your next move?
Mm-hmm. So he has it very easy. He's, like, the man around campus. All the girls are like, oh, cute, you're going to take us to the, you know, and she gets mad for him, like, supposedly flirting. I was like, I think he is just being kind to a fan. I don't think he was, like, flirting with those girls in front of you. So that's, like, them in college. Everything seems fine. Monica's really struggling because she's just not as good. Before we get to that, so Monica finally does make the starting lineup, and as I was watching this, I was like, oh, I'm watching her, like, really struggle, and I'm like, I really hope someone doesn't get hurt, and that's how she gets. I wanted her to earn it. Like, didn't you want her to earn her starting, which she eventually does.
I did. I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen. That's better than what I thought, because they mentioned she's only there because the girl they were recruiting got pregnant and chose not to come. I'm like, if she gets this spot because another girl gets pregnant, like, I am not going to be okay with that. So at least it wasn't a basketball injury, not like, oh, I got knocked up and now coaches kicked me off the team or whatever.
Yeah, I just was like watching it. And again, this is one of those moments where I'm like, have I seen this whole movie before? I don't know. Because I was just like, I want her to earn it. Like, I think she's like working really hard. Coach is writing her. Later on, coach is like, you think I yell myself hoarse for someone who I don't think has potential, which I think is totally true. Like, coaches don't care. If you're giving it your all and your all is like still mediocre, they're like, hey, you're trying really fucking hard. But when you could be so much better and you're not, that's when coaches get mad. And like, if she didn't know that by that point, like, come on.
Get it together.
I like never wanted to get yelled at because I'm not hustling enough, that I'm not trying hard enough. That was my, I'm Ms. Hustle. Like, I'm always going to be working the hardest. Except if it's running, then I was probably going as hard as I felt.
I never worked very hard. I was lazy as shit.
No. In drills, learning a skill, very into it. Just running around the field, running on the track just to do that? No. No. That's not me.
No. Not at that age for me, for sure.
So, yeah. So then it's all, like, seems like things are going well for her. Because she's working harder. She's getting playing time. She eventually gets the starting spot. She gets to keep the starting spot after the other injured player comes back. So she's on the rise. So Quincy has to be on the downfall. For like, and I think for a kid who hasn't had many hardships in his life.
Maybe any.
We don't see any. Again, it's not really his movie. It's more Monica's movie. Mm-hmm. But like, his dad, he's like chatting with his dad at a bar, and his dad's like, oh man, I got a woman coming at me with paternity thing. The way it was kind of awkward, and I can't remember what Dennis Hayes' friend says. I was like, what a fucking segue, my guy.
I mean, he might have called her a hoe or something, because there's a lot of that. There's a lot of just calling women hoes in this movie.
Yeah, or dogs, which I didn't like.
Yeah, oh. You're a dog.
I don't know what the fuck that's from.
Teen Witch.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Little Brother and Teen Witch. We did it for the pod.
I haven't to say I haven't seen it for a while, but it's because we did it for the pod ages ago. Yeah. So like, his dad basically tries to tell him, hey, I got some little thought out there who's saying I'm some kid's dad. And he's like, it's not true, blah, 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 whatever. And like, I couldn't tell if Quincy was just like, yeah, you're not his dad, but like, you know, you probably fucked her. I thought he understood that, Papa was a Rolling Stone, and wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Was his home.
And when it died.
Like, I thought he was aware that his dad was stepping out on mom when they, because like, that they always fought, he had late meetings. Like, I thought he was aware.
It's true.
But you come to, you come to realize that it's like, because he asked him, like, well, it's not true, dad. Like, just tell me. Like, and I'll, you know, dad's like, it's not true. He believes him. Goes on. He goes home to see his mom. She's really upset. It's because his mom had like a PI file of the dad and has photos. So then, like, Quincy gets pretty pissed, which I was like, oh, you. It's not just that you wanted him to say he's not the kid's father. You also believe your dad has been 100% faithful.
Yes.
This whole entire time.
His whole world fell apart.
Yeah. And then, like, Dennis Haysbert is it in her dorm, like, the dorm before or after he gets into the conversation? Must be after. I think it's after. Because then, like, Monica and Quincy are, like, hanging out just, like, on the bleacher somewhere, I guess, on the campus of USC. And they're talking, and she's like looking at the clock, and they're talking. He's like, she's like, hey, just come back to my dorm. And he's like, I don't want to be around people. Let's just stay here. And she's like, well, I can't do that. I have curfew.
I have curfew. You
know about curfew. Which he should understand. He should 100% right. understand that.
Yeah.
So I found that a little annoying that Quincy like couldn't seem to understand that as an athlete himself.
Yeah.
Maybe because he didn't understand it because he's a star player and no one ever holds him to anything.
No, it's because he's selfish. He's a young man and he's selfish. There you go. That is 100% it. He's like, what? Why are you going home? I need attention. Why would you do that? You can stay. It's like, no, there's curfew. Get in trouble if I don't. And there's consequences for me too. So,
and this is the reason that I didn't want them together. I'm just like, he's not a good guy to her. He was never like a good boyfriend to her.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's like one thing in the end. I guess like the one other thing I'm going to say about the curfew thing, like, is Coach coming by? Probably not. She's just going to call.
I don't know. Our high school coach would show up at house parties and suspend the whole team if they were there. So like, okay, maybe.
That's insane.
Coach still was a great man.
It's insane. I think when we were in on away games, which is like the most more often than not, you're not going anywhere when you're
right.
in a hotel. But I think that's the only time we got calls to make sure or they would like come by and knock on the door and make sure we were there.
With the persona they gave the coach, I could imagine if she did it for the freshmen. Because like, oh, she hates all the freshmen and she doesn't give freshmen playing time. So I could see it being like for freshmen, she is going to like go check on you or whatever. It's probably only two or three of them on the team.
Okay. Because I was just like, why can't he just go to her room with her? Like,
right.
You know?
Because Dave's right. He's selfish. Like, yeah. I want it my way.
Right.
Yeah, she probably does have roommate. Yeah, it's so many questions about that. I'm like, well, let's dive into the college sports of it all. Were they roommates together? Some colleges do that. Some colleges don't want the athletes and like teammates on the same thing. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Also, it was the 80s. Could be a completely different thing. So, yeah. So Quincy's kind of like annoyed. But he's like, fine, you can go. Then he winds up talking to his dad. And he's just like, basically everything you've ever told me is like bullshit because you cheated on mom. So that's like the biggest sin. So I can't believe anything you've ever said. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm declaring for the draft. And he's like, I can't let you do that. There's a scene earlier where dad's like, a man can't is something that a man should never say. When he says, I can't let you do that. He's like, I thought a man never says can't. And it's just like, basically, I think what we get from this moment is that Quincy and his dad no longer connected.
Yeah.
Because he cheated on mom and he's pissed about it. And we also learned in this moment that Quincy is going to declare the draft and go pro. After one season of college where like
not we see a game where
he plays horribly because he's so upset about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be like, I think he has one bad game. I don't think he has multiple. Like, I just was like, I never found out my dad cheated on my mom for decades.
It might fuck me up. I know there are coaches who will go to their players and be like, you could get drafted right now. You're not ready. Come back another year and you'll be like a first round pick. He said he might be a lottery pick. And I'm like, I don't know. That seems unlikely. But like,
yeah,
you know, especially back in those days where you built your team around a dominant 7-foot center that played with their back to the basket all game long.
Yeah.
A point guard, he'd have to be really great.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like in 88, 89, can first year athletes even come out? Like,
oh, back in 88, 89, you could skip college altogether still. Because like Kobe came straight out of high school and played in the NBA.
But I thought Moses there was a time Malone where you had to go to college. And then it was like, And then it was like, you have to go for a year.
It was between 97 and 2003, I think there was, Kobe came out. And then
there were a bunch of guys, like Tracy McGrady. Vince Carter, I think, was straight out of high school.
And then up to LeBron. And then after LeBron, they're like, college? Or you don't
need to go to there college was, anymore? I don't know.
A year.
I don't know if that was – okay. So I know that, like, Moses Malone came straight out of high school. And I think he was, like, the first one to do it. I don't think there was a rule that said you couldn't. It was just, like, teams were not drafting high school guys before Moses Malone. I don't know if they changed the rule between then and, like, 97 – to say you had to go for a year. Because, like, Kevin Garnett didn't go to college at all. He came straight out. So I know that it was a thing. But also, when I think about, like, 80s college basketball, I think about all these guys that were there for all 4 years. They've changed the rule now to you got to play 1 year, which is, like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Because these guys don't really – you don't need to be eligible. Like, you play for what – you'd be eligible for one semester, and that's it, basically. So I don't know what the rule was then. I don't know if you had to go for a year then or not. I know you do now, which is stupid.
Durant did, right?
He went to Texas for 1 year. Yeah. He was at Texas for a year. But, like, obviously LeBron didn't go to college. Carmelo went to Syracuse for a year and won everything. So, like, I know that there's – after this, you have to go for a year. Currently, you have to go for at least a year.
Okay.
Or, well, no, you don't.
For him.
You don't anymore, because you can go play in the G League or in there's some other league that the NBA, like the NBA's minor league, can go play in straight away from high school. Now you can't get drafted right away, but you can play in the G League for a year and then go, or play overseas for a year and then get drafted.
Yeah, so it definitely okay. We can figure it out later.
This is a dumb discussion, is what it is.
I was just like, I can't remember because, I would assume if he was wanted to go into the lottery and get drafted in the NBA, like he would have had to start playing better, because you're not gonna have a couple good games at the start of your freshman year, then play like shit after you find out the stuff about your dad, continue to play like shit for the rest of the year, and the NBA like, yeah, we'll take you. Like, I don't believe
you
it.
You have
I don't
to be exceptional, especially as a point guard. You have to be an exceptional point guard.
Yeah. So I was just like, he had to have gotten better. But they eventually like get into a fight because they being Monica and Quincy, because she had like a game. She's like, oh, I didn't see you at the game. She goes over to his room. Some other girlie's coming through. And he's like, hey, we're going to go get like Burger King or McDonald's or whatever. She's like, do you want to come with? And she's like, no, I don't fucking want to.
No.
With this other girl. Then they see each other later, and he's basically like, oh, I'm glad you seem to finally have time for me now that I had to take another, I got to take a little shorty. I forget what he says. He's like, shorty? Can't remember.
In my mind, it's honey dip. I knew it wasn't honey dip. In my mind, it was a little honey dip. Tenderoni.
But yeah, he had to take someone else out.
A little tenderoni.
I've heard that before. Yes.
Be my only shot at a tenderoni. Yeah, I know.
There's also a Michael Jackson song, which is Tenderonis, PYT. Oh,
that's right. Yep, PYT.
Tenderoni, oh, you got doobie.
I do love that song. God,
it's a great song.
So good. But so he's like, oh, now that I take out another girl, you have time for me. And she's like, what the fuck? But she's 100% right. This yes. is in this moment where you're like, God, Quincy sucks. Like, I don't understand why she's fighting for him. Don't understand why, like, she even cares. He's like, now you have time. I needed you. And she's like, I have curfew. And he's like, well, ball's your life. But like, she thought ball was his life too. And I think that's where, like, it comes up later, but you realize mm-hmm. that like, she truly has a love for basketball. And I think he has a like for basketball. Like, I think
yes.
he recognizes he's good at it. His dad played it. Like, basketball is not life for him. It is life for her.
Yeah.
And she thought they had that in common. And she thought he would understand. She's like, you know, I think like there's some conversation about like, I'd never make you choose. And he's like, you wouldn't have to, because for him, it's obvious like you would come first. But like, is it? You didn't understand.
You took another girl on a date in front of her. Like, she's not going to come first.
It like yeah. just doesn't make sense. Like, your actions do not.
No, he's an immature college boy is what this is. Yeah. Like, this is. Yeah, this is what it means to be like an 18, 19 year old boy.
But they leave like basically the way they end it. It's like they try to make her like there's parts of this. I'm like, I love what you're doing. But like, why are we made to believe like she's the asshole? Because like it's there's just certain things that like you should get like, oh, you have to go do this. I understand, hon. Let's catch up tomorrow. Like, to me, it should have been like first thing the next morning. She should have been in his room. Like, we should have seen that. Like, not, hey, I got curfew. I got to go to my game. Like,
see you in 5 years.
Yeah, like there should have been an opportunity for her to connect with him again, because then it did seem like days later, and I'm just like, unless it was an away game, but like I don't know. Again,
telephones
now I'm getting into like my whole thing. I'm like, okay, so five's an athlete, if I had a game, I'd have plenty of time in the morning. Like,
but this is why I didn't want them together. He treats her badly. He's selfish, and it's like, no, I want better for her. I don't think either one of you guys watched this season of Love is Blind. I wanted better for AD than Clay was giving her. Okay. Like, that's what this was.
I watched Drag Queens recap Love is Blind for me. So certain Clay's things that are not worth my time, but I want to know about them. I hope they're on Netflix, because then Netflix is a thing where some of my favorite drag queens watch their programming and tell me what happens.
There you go.
Excellent. So that's how quarter three ends. He's an asshole, but he makes her feel like the asshole. That's how it ends. The next quarter, 1993, she's living overseas. So, like, if their freshman year is 1988, they should graduate in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Summer. So this is 1983. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And they both played as freshmen.
Yeah, so it's 1982. We don't know at what point in 1983 this is, but yeah, she's living abroad. She plays basketball in Spain.
Barcelona. Yeah.
Yeah, Barcelona. She's like kind of famous.
Yeah.
She doesn't speak the language. Coach is giving a pep talk. They don't bother translating it for us. And she doesn't know what he says either. And she goes, hey, what did he say? Give the ball to you.
I think he said something like, this is our year. And
yeah,
give her the ball.
Okay. Not next year. This is next year. Like, I think próxima año. Próxima.
Yeah, it was like, they always say next year, next year, next year. This year is next year. Like, this is our time. This is our championship. Give the ball to Monica. She had 30 points last night. Like, it was very on-the-nose pep talk.
Yeah, and then as she's going onto the court, she runs into it's her former teammate whose spot she took, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who, they're apparently, this is the championship game for whatever women's European professional league this is. Her teammate plays for Italy.
So it's like a Champions League situation.
Mm-hmm. It is truly being world or continent champions, unlike our fucking World Series and Super Bowls.
The Super Bowl is a world championship. It's not like a European team that's going to beat the NFL champions. I know it's arrogant to say world championship, but like, what European team, what Asian team is going to beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, the Eurobasket, it's different competition. It is.
Eurobasket is different. The key is a weird trapezoid.
On a good day, maybe Spain can put people out there on the court that can compete with the United States, but it's got to be a really good day for them.
Well, and it's got to be our B team. It's not going to be like the LeBron team. It's going to be the guys who are like, oh, you can play, but you're not an all-star or anything.
Yeah, is it minutes? We're not sending dream teams anymore because of minutes?
Mm-hmm. They don't want to put the extra wear and tear on their bodies for exhibition games.
España, but in the science. In España. So she's, this is her first year, theoretically.
Yeah, first year in this league.
In España, and she's playing the championship game. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Against a former teammate. She wins. They go out to dinner. She has a trophy on the table. The teammate's like, isn't playing in Europe fucking awesome? They treat us like celebrities at back home. Someone else quit and went home, and she like works in a bookstore or whatever it is. Yeah. Like,
I'm getting all
dope.
This big old Italian D. Like,
what a great time. The men fucking love us. And you can tell that Monica's like, I don't know if I let my family so far away. We see her watching Family Matters in Spanish.
What was the Spanish currency before the
Lira? I'm trying to think. I was going to say Lira. It wasn't Lira. Maybe
is it pesos? Yeah, pesos, maybe. The Spanish. So she's making like a couple hundred thousand pesos a year.
$30,000-$40,000.
That's pretty good. That's worth like it's worth like $40,000. I'm sure cost of living was probably a lot cheaper in Barcelona back then. Well, so.
And there's no WNBA at the time. So like, what are you going to do?
You could have a very good life, but you're kind of isolated because you saw it. She sat on one side of the room. The rest of the team that spoke Spanish or understood enough to listen to the coach sat in the other.
You could have learned Spanish.
She gets home, watches TV. All in Spanish. Doesn't know it.
She can learn.
I can see it being very isolating, and I can see that. Understood. But the way that acts when she comes home, she acts like a real shithead. So I had no
real dick.
No, I had no sympathy after she was acting like that when she came home.
But yeah, you could tell that she doesn't see it as well as her teammate sees it. I think her teammate says like it's 7 months, so she's been there for 7 months, and then is ultimately like, I don't think I'm going home. So at the same time, Quincy is a scrub on the Lakers because, as his dad predicted and expected, it does not go well for him declaring after his freshman year.
No, apparently he's played on several teams from team to team. Yes. Apparently, I would guess 3 teams in 5 years would not be out of the question.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant was apparently on the, you could see him in the film. I did not catch
really?
It. But that's what the trivia says, that they're actually at a Lakers game.
Well, they mentioned Nick Van Exel. I'm like, well, that's a name I haven't thought about in a long time. Well, Nick the Quick, all right.
I know they dropped in Magic Johnson. It didn't fit. Did. It didn't look right. I'm like, oh my God.
That was that seemed like borrowed footage. We're like, hey, can we borrow that from like a live
ridiculous.
Broadcast?
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Um, But at the, so he, they're going to, and they're basically, the announcers are like, all right, well, the Lakers are up by a lot. We're going to put the scrubs in. And you're just
always
like,
fun to watch the backups get to play. I'm like, that doesn't happen in NBA. You don't say that, NBA announcer.
Offensive.
Deeply.
And then he, you know, goes in, misses his first three. Then he goes up for a dunk because he got a breakaway, dunks. The sound effect.
Like, it's showtime. I'm like, what? Showtime era.
Long over, gone.
93. Done.
I'm like, also, oh, that show that ended so abruptly on HBO. I never got to watch the second season. Anyway.
Not worth it now.
I think they erased it. That's what they do. Oh, you didn't watch it? You missed out? Gone.
Sorry. You tried. I'm sorry. Can't watch it.
God, I was just a little delayed. But then he goes up to dunk. He lands. The sound effect, I was like, he broke his whole leg. It was like, crunch.
His bones are the dust.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, is this a Marcus Lattimore situation?
Oh,
bones full of green dust. Yeah.
Just never forget Marcus Lattimore on national TV.
No, don't need to remember that.
Hey.
But that's what it sounded like. And then when we cut to the hospital, and he's like, oh, he tore his ACL. I was like, that's not what the sound said.
I don't think you do that from landing from a dunk. You have to be like changing direction to tear your ACL.
It's a cutting.
Usually.
It's a cutting. Yeah.
It was like creakle, crackle, crap. Oh!
Creakle, crackle.
It was like snap, crackle, pop.
There were noises. There were noises.
I was like, he'll never walk again.
Yeah. Get him a wheelchair, get him the Paralympics.
It's like when Vince McMahon runs into go on.
Oh.
Remember when he ran and
tore both hamstrings at the same time, both quads?
And then he tries to stand back up again. He's like, oh, it's broken. I'm just going to sit here on my bike.
Sitting down. He sits down in the ring and like directs you. He tore both of his legs.
It reminds me.
It's not quite as dramatic because it's obviously sports entertainment, very different.
Oh, it was great. It's so good.
But it literally happened to him, though. He literally. Tore muscles. Okay.
Oh, both of them.
He tore either both hamstrings or both quads, like diving into the ring. And then he could not stand. So he just sat in the ring, like directing traffic, angrily pointing at people and shit.
This happened to my brother. So there's like footage of this at like my nephew's little baseball field, like little league field, that my nephew kept being like, I'm so fast, Dad. I'm so much faster than you. My brothers cannot stand this type of thing. No one can be better at them at anything. My like 8-year-old nephew is like, Dad, let's race after a game. My brother has not stretched, has not done anything. They line up on one foul line and they're going to sprint across the field to get to the other foul line.
They're going to stretch first.
They take off and within like a couple steps, it looks like someone sniped my brother from the grassy knoll. Because he just...
Sniper in the building.
Drops. And it's because like both of his hamstrings just went rip.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like the vantage point, because it's like security footage from the baseball, it's so far away that it literally just looks like someone just like some unknown spirit just wiped my brother out.
Got him.
And he just like face plants in the ground because his hamstrings are wrecked.
That's the worst.
So, okay, again, sound effect not correct. So Quincy's like laid up in the hospital. Monica goes to see him bringing flowers. I think she's there to rekindle. Finds out Tyra Banks is in the picture.
Uh-huh.
Tells him she stopped playing basketball because it just like the love wasn't in it for her anymore. This is an important thing to note. She just didn't feel right anymore. But then we learn Tyra Banks is there and they're engaged. This is where I'm like, wait. It's 1993. They were 18 in 1988.
Yep.
5 years. And they keep saying it's only been 5 years. It's been five. Blah, 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 blah. So Quincy is 23 years old, engaged to be married.
Correct. Yeah. To a flight attendant who you don't see often, I know. So this must be
like
she started
real life supermodel. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you know what?
Like, it's Tyra Banks. I get it.
Maybe this is good.
But yeah,
he's probably not in college. Like he was probably flying a lot because he's like, journeyman basketball player, probably in an airport sometimes. So like. It might have been like fairly recent, but still 23.
It's young, but I
good at basketball.
I've a lot of the guys that I watch in college. I'm like, the fuck you mean you're married already? you brought your wife to the draft. Like, what, you're 22.
Are they weirdos from the Midwest? Not like a kid from Southern California.
Yeah,
it's here
for Iowa. So yeah, no, okay, they're all weirdos from the Midwest.
They're weirdos from the Midwest.
Van Meter, Iowa or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A kid from like LA should not be getting married at 23.
Whose dad played in the NBA? No, you're not getting married at 22, 23.
No. And his dad ultimately tells him, oh, I forgot to mention that part. Because I did have something about the parents. We're not going to get to it. I was calling Cats in the Cradle. It doesn't really work.
Boy Blue, the moon.
Yeah. Man, the moon. When you're all coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together again. Okay, anyway.
Son.
But I think when they have the fight after Quincy realizes that his dad's been cheating on his mom this whole entire time, he's like, you know, your mom had you when she was 19 and I did the right thing and married her. And it's like, you're the best thing that's like ever happened to me, but.
But you know, I wasn't ready to get married.
Yeah. You know, you yeah. can't keep a good man down. I don't know how, whatever. Yeah. So he should know that his dad married young and it didn't work out. Maybe he's trying to point him like, I'm not my dad. I can get married young and everything will be fine. But whatever, he's engaged to Tyra Banks. So she goes home and talks to her mom, and this is where they finally have it out about how like her mom never really was supportive of her being athletic and her the things that she found important. But then the mom's also like, you don't understand that all that I've done. I didn't just sit at home and be a housewife to make your dad's life easier. It's like I also had you two girls and I was here for all of the things that were important that I thought were important for you, that like whatever, it's a whole thing. It's quite lovely. But that's when like they kind of have like their realization that they do love and care for each other. It's just misaligned on what each other.
After Alfred Woodard slaps the shit out of her.
Yeah, that happens.
Straight in the face.
Mm-hmm. That happens with mothers and daughters, you know.
Yeah, your mom hit you that one time.
You took a lot and reacted like, okay, cool. But then eventually it's like all the cursing and all that when she was going back at her. It's like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take this slap.
Like, oh, they cursing their mamas in Spain now? It's all right.
Yeah, she says that. No, yeah. but the reaction was also like, I didn't expect that. I'm really sorry. Yeah. Oh my God. You like, actually
shit,
reacted.
You hit me.
No.
Yeah. I'm grown.
Her daughter
you
was shitting on her for like not defending herself, not reacting.
Yep.
There's your reaction. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Got her
push
ass.
Push comes to shove.
Yeah.
Alfred Woodard's gonna react. But I think in this moment, the mom's also like, I think Quincy could do better. She's like, no, I'm not going to go over there and encourage you to sleep with him. Like, that's just not who I am. I'm not abrasive. I'm not like, that's not my style. So then, you know, she's home. She's working at her dad's bank. Quincy's back at his mom's house, getting his stuff out because he's about to get married. And I guess, has he been living at home this whole? Maybe just because he's traveling.
I think his stuff is there. When I saw him packing, I'm like, oh my God, did his mom die? Is that what this is? Like, mom died, we get my house cleaned out and like sell the house now? Mm-hmm. Nope, just coming to get some bric-a-brac.
Yeah, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. I finally have my own place.
I thought for a second, he still lives at home. He's been in the NBA for 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. But maybe
I just think he had a lot of shit there.
Yeah.
I think he also like maybe didn't have a place in LA. Like maybe he was just recently traded back to LA. Maybe he's just been staying in a hotel. He was in, out of town, like, I don't need to get my own place in LA because I'm never here because I either got drafted by another team or I've played on 2 or 3 other teams. This is my first time being back in LA since I was drafted. We'll give him the benefit
Washington
of the doubt.
Bullets. Yeah, that's how it felt.
It's on the Charlotte Hornets. What?
Muggsy and Alonzo?
Yeah. But we obviously have to get him in Monica's vicinity. So I forget whatever happens. We didn't talk about it earlier, but we'll talk about it now. There's these two quintessential one-on-one moments that they play. One time they're just playing like room basketball and it's like whoever scores points, the other person has to strip, blah, blah, blah. It's meant to be like romantic and sexy when they're doing it in college.
Mm-hmm. She grabs his dick as a distraction at one point.
She does.
And it works.
And at one point, like, he just lets her blow by and she scores and he takes off his pants. She goes, where's the D? And he's like, right here.
Helicopter dick.
Good one. Good one.
Then they play, because they have that cute one before we have a callback, and she's like, let's go for real. she's like, I basically is like, I've been in love with you since I'm 11. The big thing I realized about like why there's no love or I just don't feel it in basketball anymore is because like you're not a part of it. Like basketball and you are like synonymous in my mind, my heart. If you're not around, I just don't care for basketball. I think it's basically what she's trying to say.
Yeah. Yep.
So she's like, let's play for it. He is also recuperating from tearing an ACL in 1993.
His career should be over.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, do people recover from ACL injuries in 1993? I don't think so.
That at the time,
you're never walking again.
They still take corpse tissue and try to inject that into you. Now it's completely different now. But
it's totally fine now.
Not really back then.
Stem cells,
like hog, right? Hog tissue. Like put they use that to fix your knee.
I mean, hog if you're lucky. Yeah, it. I think at the time it was very much like, if you recover, it is a full year before you do anything. So like you're not running for a year.
Yeah. So she says, like, let's play basketball. And I'm like, can we just factor in that he is injured? And I understand she's a woman. We're meant to be weaker, frailer, whatever. Homeboy just fucking tore his ACL. Is probably weeks post-op. Get the fuck out of here.
I legit said the motherfucker's leg fell off. Like, he can't play right now.
Like, maybe it's been a couple months. We did see him, like, in a gym, like, doing leg curls. So maybe it's been a couple months.
What he said is he hasn't dribbled a basketball for 4 months. So
this is, you're right.
I think 4 months at a minimum.
Yeah, at a minimum. But she's like, in the middle of the night, let's play one-on-one. Basically for your heart, which, wild. But Sana sells it. I will give her that. She does. So they're playing. She's, like, up really quick. And then he's like, oh, I got to take this fucking Don Joy off. And I'm like, don't take the knee brace off.
No.
You want to never play walk in the NBA again,
right?
Like, you want your leg to fall off. This is what's going to happen. Just so ultimately, he starts playing for real. He wins. Hard charge, though. And then a dunk.
He charged her in the face.
Yeah.
He shoulder her in the face.
In a way, you're wanting, like, your first read is like, he's going to do it. He's going to dunk. And he's like, that's it. Like, we're done. But instead, it's a hard charge and a dunk. And he looks at her and then he's like, double or nothing. And I'm like, you're just fucking, what?
Also, I don't know what that means in this context. You get my heart double? What he should have said is, hey, let's play to six instead of to five. I'll give you another shot.
Two.
Like, that's, yes, gotta win by two. Something
with
like
a wink.
That.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
not like, hey, let's double or nothing. What are you talking about?
Maybe people don't, I don't know. But yeah, it was just weird because like his aggressiveness for scoring the final winning points to then be like, oh, I'm just kidding. Let's keep going.
Well, also, she blew a layup to win the game. So like, I think he might have been like, you should have won, but like you blew
it. Yeah, that's right. I forgot she does steal the ball. But then I think he takes it back and fucking dunks on her.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
After maybe she misses, like, lift, he gets the board and dunks in her face.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe that's like, I care about basketball just as much as you, whatever. It was an interesting ending, but now they're... He's leaving his fiance and now they're together, I guess. We never see it happen. So at the time this was being written and the time I think they were like originally shooting it, the WNBA did not exist.
Right.
So I think they added this to it at the end because basically the movie ends where we're back in an arena, a packed arena, which absolutely not.
Not for the LA Sparks at this time.
What is this? 95, 97 tops? Yeah, like it's a couple years.
Lisa Leslie's on the court. So,
So it's not immediately 1993. It's a couple years. Yeah. But it's cut to she's like coming out on the court for the Sparks. She's Monica Wright McCall. Quincy's last name is McCall. Yes. So obviously they're married. She's playing in the WNBA. He's in the stands with the baby saying, hi, mama. Hi, mama. Fade to black. Movie's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet, I guess, loving, touching. Question, what the fuck is Quincy doing? Because they ain't living off of a WNBA salary.
Well, he probably has an inheritance. Maybe his dad died. I wonder if it's like, he did mention he wanted to go back to college. So like, I wonder if he went to college and got a degree in something. And I don't know.
Would have loved to find out.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, he made some money in the NBA. If he was a lottery pick, he thought he was, he got a good signing bonus. I'm sure he blew it all, but like,
yeah,
he theoretically had some money from when he played.
I just was like, can he get into coach? Like, I just would have loved to find out, like, maybe he's on the bench with the clipboard. You know, like, just a little something
that would have been
tell
nice.
Us what happened with Quincy.
Have you seen the clips of that little kid coach?
Oh my god, fuck yeah.
It's the cutest thing in the fucking world. Yeah, he's so serious.
He's got the clap, he's crossing his arms.
There was one where I saw him in the locker room, like, hey, if I'm coaching my butt off, you gotta play your butt off. And I'm like, you're four. Like, what are you talking about? So that would have been cute if it was him as a coach with little daughter also with a clipboard.
Yeah, it is one of the cutest things I don't even watch it with sound. I watch because I don't put the sound on.
You don't need to.
I'm on Instagram. You don't fucking need to. Watch pacing and throwing a clipboard at one point. It is
slapping dudes on the butt when they come off the court. Like, he's so serious about it. It's really good.
I'm like, is this a little man? Is this not a child? Is this
it's just, so
is
good.
Is this an orphan? Is this one it of an so orphan good. Situation?
Yeah, he's got a thing around his neck. Is that what this is? Well,
that's
guys,
the whole film. We did it.
One of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things or the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who are we going to dive on this week?
Oh, boy. This is so hard because...
Everyone's famous. Yeah. Everyone's real famous.
As I noted at the top, the black excellence in this.
Yeah, the black excellence. You're right.
Should I do one of the kids? Sorry, I should be prepared, but I am not. Yeah, let's go with Sidra, the girl she wants to replace. Sidra O'Neill, okay. Woman, not a girl, woman. Let's see what she's been up to. So the actress's actual name is Erica Ringer.
Okay.
And this was her first film.
Oh, all right.
She still has credits. Let's find out what they are.
All right. Let's dig into it.
51 total credits. So this was her first movie, first anything was this one. Yeah. Then in 2002, she's caught in something called Go for Broke. Her name is Red. She's in a sequel in 2005 called Go for Broke 2.
All right.
Something. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Also in 2005. She is in Trapped in the Closet, chapters 1 through 12.
So I pulled out my gun.
Get him out the closet. Get him out the closet. A rubber. A rubber.
Oh my God. A rubber. Rubber.
Yes. So she was
in
that.
I prefer the Weird Al parody, Trapped in the Drive, personally. Oh, it's good.
I don't think I know it.
Watch the YouTube.
I do. I remember listening
it's
to.
So good.
107.5 WGCI in Chicago was debuting them when they came out. They were like the exclusive first place to get each chapter of Trapped in the Closet. And like every morning for whatever it was, 2 weeks, like, all right, guys, 7:30, we're dropping the new one. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who's listening to me?
Oh, boy. Well, she was in those videos.
Okay.
Let's skip ahead a little bit. She's in something called Sorority Sisters Slaughter in 2007.
Oh boy.
Do it for the pod. I'll pick it for the pod.
No, please don't. Also in 2007, she's in Trapped in the Closet, chapters 13 through 22.
Yeah, it's
22.
Uh-huh. She's on an episode. So this is like 2007 through 2009. She's on three episodes of a show called Moonlight, one episode of Ghost Whisperer, one episode of Cold Case, one episode of CSI New York.
Balloons.
And one episode of Hawthorne.
Hawthorne.
Okay. So those are all things that she was in for about a 3-year run. A bunch of shit I've never heard of. In 2011, she's in two episodes of Law & Order LA. I forgot that we even tried that.
Same.
They did it for a season with Skeet. Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ulrich.
He doesn't have the gravitas.
I have the episodes.
Law & Order. Sure doesn't.
I'm a Law and Order completionist. I've seen
you
them.
Are.
You don't need to, but I have.
Great in Jericho. Great in Scream.
Skeet Jericho Ulrich was so good.
Should not be in a Law. Is he a cop or a lawyer? A bad cop? Okay.
He's a cop. And
not going to ask any more questions. We got to keep plowing through this lady's resume. She is in one episode of Parenthood in 2011 as a lunch lady.
Okay.
Here we come again in 2012. She is in Trapped in the Closet again, chapters 23 through 33.
Why are there so many chapters?
Great question.
A rubber. Yeah.
I don't know. I really hope we're not seeing more of that on here. She's in something called Diary of a Champion. It's a TV series for 7 episodes in 2012 to 2013. Never heard of it.
No.
There's a lot of later credits that I don't know from, let's see, 2012 through 2021 is when she appears again in something I recognize. She's in King Richard as Miss Strickland. I don't know who that is, but she was in King Richard. Good for her.
I liked it.
But yeah, I thought it was fun, you know.
Okay.
Without King Richard, we don't get Will Smith slapping the shit out of Chris Rock at the Oscars. So I'll take
accurate.
I'd prefer to go back in time and have that not happen. So I think we shouldn't have King Richard.
Alternate universe.
That's
he should have won for other things. I've heard whole podcasts discussed. If he had won for this and Denzel had won for that, no one gets fucking slapped.
You see him react that way with the slap and then take pictures with like Denzel Washington minutes afterwards and everything's fine. That's
ain't my business. That's their business. Ain't my business.
I've heard the same theory about if Aaron Rodgers had won more than one Super Bowl, he would not be a crazy person right now.
Yeah.
Lord knows. She's on two episodes of The Morning Show, a show I have watched. I do not remember seeing her on it in 2021. Yeah. She was on an episode of You in 2021. I haven't watched that episode yet. And
Soldier Boy, tell him.
Yeah, tell him.
Her most recent credit is she's in two episodes of Bosch Legacy, a show I've never seen.
Love Bosch.
That makes sense.
Are you a dad? Bosch.
I'm a Bosch dad. Yes.
You watch Blue Bloods too?
I do watch Blue Bloods. I do. But it's only for the procedural aspect, not that family dinner shit.
Uh-huh.
It's the police procedural part.
So I will say for Miss Erica Ringer, her first credit, she's still going strong.
Yeah, this is a whole career built up this movie.
Later.
That's
good
cool
for her. That's good for her. Well, guys, that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's 10 nuggets and superlatives. Only two. There's not a whole lot of teen characters in this movie. Quincy is most likely to be an absolute menace in his local YMCA rec league. And Monica is likely to sit front row and yell at every one of her daughter's games. I think she's going to make a point to be not what her mom was. This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, what are we going to watch next?
A lot of choices. I was having some trouble. I was looking at it like, what are you going to do here? You want to stick with the sports motif? You want to try something different? But I was talking about this one earlier. It's a throwback from 1987. It's a John Hughes. He didn't direct it. He wrote it. Some Kind of Wonderful. Eric Stoltz. Oh. Leah Thompson.
Mary, the original Martin McFly. All right.
Mary Stuart Masterson. Mary Stuart Masterson. Craig Sheffer, who was the QB in The Program. He's also
Grayface.
Yes, Grayface.
Is he 87 in this movie too?
Grayface himself.
This was 7 years earlier, so theoretically his face should be not gray, but it could still be gray. And we'll find out. And
it's not his fault. He had an iron ore facility in his front yard, so I get it.
Yeah. And it looks like it's just a teen film in the 80s in the San Fernando Valley. So we'll see if it's any good.
All right, guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recapping Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recapping Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Quincy, why don't you go bone Dick Vitale? Mm-hmm. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.